So I don't know. Hope you've all been enjoying these messages that we've been giving out. These have been teachings that we started out Word of Life Church with. Just part of our DNA for Word of Life Church and why we're here. So I'm still on that series. I began this series actually back in the middle of May. We're still on it. This may be our final day, though. I'm just being led by God to see where He wants to go from here. But anyway, these are the teachings that have been foundational. Why this church came into being in the first place, and the name of our church should give you some idea of why we're here. This is Word of Life Church. We're here for the Word's sake. So we're going to open up in prayer, and we'll get into the Word. Okay. All right, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to come together again. Lord, I thank You for Your anointing on Your Word. Your Word encourages. Your Word strengthens. Your Word gives us life. Your Word is life. It is health. It is medicine to all of our flesh. So, Lord, today we come and we partake. We partake of Your medicine, of Your words of life. And so, Father, we just thank You for this opportunity. We thank You for each one here, everyone within the sound of my voice, even if they're connected over the phone lines. Father, we just thank You that You connect us by Your Spirit. And this is Your family, Lord God. So I thank You that You've brought us all here together, unhindered. We can come into Your house of worship freely. And we thank You for that freedom to be able to do that. We say, Lord, have Your way. We submit this entire service to You. We say, have Your way in this place today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right, so, there was a time in my life when I needed to know how to walk in the promises of God. I needed to know. And I didn't know. I didn't know how to do it. Even though, we were... my family was in churches. We were there twice on Sundays. Every time the thing was open, we were there. But I wasn't taught everything that I needed to know. And so, if you attend this church, I believe that you need to know why we're here, why this church exists. And so, most of you were not in our family room when we started a Bible study many years ago. Actually, 2009. There are a few of you in here who are still here, but this series kind of helps bring us all up on the same page, and so that's why I've been reteaching the foundational teachings that we started out with, and those things are things that I needed to learn. It was just a supernatural time with God, and I just took the download. And it's amazing how when you apply what God tells you to do, it works. So anyway, these are the scriptures that I've been using as foundation for this series of teachings. The first one is Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18 in King James Version says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. And we've been going through this series, and I want to look at that word vision. The word vision, the Hebrew word for vision, is the word chazon. Chazon. The word for vision is chazon. It means a prophetic vision, a dream, an oracle. It means revelation, a sight mentally. Okay, we're talking about vision. That's what this series is about. And I want to look at the root word for chazon. It comes from the word kazah. Kazah. That word, the root word, means to see. It means to behold. It means to perceive. And so, that's talking about, vision from God. Getting vision. Seeing what God is saying. Perceiving what God is saying. And so I also want to look at the New King James Version of that same scripture, Proverbs 29:18. This is what my study Bible shares. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he who does what God tells you to do. Happy is he. When we see what God says in his word and we do it, we're happy. Happy is the one who gets the revelation of God's word, who sees it, sticks to it, and lets the word of God guide their actions by it, and it affects their life. It goes well with them. It goes well with them. But if people have no revelation of what God says in his word, if they don't know what God is saying, there's no restraint. There's no help to guide that person's life. And so it says that it won't go so well with them. And so I want to look at the Message Bible. The Message Bible puts it, you know, it's neat when you're studying a scripture to look at several different Bible versions, because you get a fuller meaning by looking at all of them. And so this is what the Message Bible says there. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So if people don't have revelation, if they don't have God's vision, if they can't see what God's doing, these different Bible versions are saying that the people will perish. They won't have any direction. They'll stumble. Things won't go well for them. So guys, it's all about the word. It's all about God's word, getting vision, understanding what he's saying. Basically what those scriptures are saying, that those people who don't have revelation, they don't have vision of God's word, they're going to stumble in life. Things aren't going to go well for them. Being led by the world is not going to lead them into blessing. And so we follow God's way, not the world's. We follow God's way. And if we do, his promise is that we will be happy. We will be blessed. And so another scripture I was using for this series is Habakkuk 2:2. It says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. You remember Moses, he went up the mountain and God wrote the Ten Commandments, you know, gave him some vision, wrote those on the tablets so that the people would know how to live their life, so they would know how to conduct their life. And, you know, those were Ten Commandments. They weren't ten suggestions. They were the Ten Commandments. So God tells us in his word how to live our lives. So when we know what he tells us what to do and what not to do, we know how to, you know, go about life. Things to do, things not to do. And if we follow him, things will go well. When we know what God's vision is, when we know what the vision is, we have direction. And we can partner with that. We can go along with that and go in that direction or not. But I'm laying out the direction of this church in all these sessions, all these teachings that I've been giving over this particular series. I've been actually writing the vision of Word of Life Church on your hearts. On your hearts, why we're here. It's because of the Word. It's because of the word. And we need accurate revelation of what God says in his word. Because there's too much out there that isn't. And so we're here for the word's sake. This is very likely going to be our very last message in this series. If you haven't been involved with the rest of the earlier part of the series, Pastor Ralph's a little late getting it onto our Podbean site, but he will. The guy is very busy, but he will get it on there. And that site is wordoflifechurchpa.podbean.com. That's where they will be on. So you'll be able to catch up on there. So we are here for the word. We're here to teach the truthfulness about God's word. You know, these, as I said before, these messages that I've been sharing, they're things that God taught me during a critical time where I was seeking him, because I needed to know. I needed to know some answers, and I wasn't getting them from the churches that we had been in. And so that's where these messages came from. It was direct revelation from God about what he says in his word. And when I applied it, it worked. And so I needed to know how to receive from God. I needed to know what was available to me from God. You know, all those teachings that we've already been through during this series. I needed to know how to appropriate the promises, the blessings that are talked about in Scripture. I didn't know, even though we had gone to church twice on Sundays, and every time they were open, I didn't know. So I needed to know the how-to. And so that's what these teachings have been pretty much during this whole series. I learned that I actually needed to spend some time with God. I had to spend time with him. He knew the how-to. He has it written in his scriptures. I needed the download. And so for my scripture today, I want to start with 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to look at verses 2 to 4. And Peter says this. He says, grace and peace. How many need peace today? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly, have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So that scripture said that God has already given us these great and precious promises. That's what the scripture says. And so but it also says that we can be partakers. We can be partakers of those great and precious promises. From that supernatural nature. Those promises are given to us spiritually, in the spirit realm, from spirit to spirit, but they are very real, very, very real. We saw many of those things listed on our big spirit board, the big spirit board that I had brought out. A lot of those things are on there. I brought that out earlier in this message series. But you know, to live on this earth right now, with everything coming against us, we need to know what those promises are. We need to know what they are. Absolutely, we need to know. And how to bring those into this physical realm. They're given to us. They've already been given, spirit to spirit. They're in the spirit realm. But how do we manifest those? How do we see those things manifest in this physical realm? And so I needed to know how to pull those promises from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. And so these scriptures that we just looked at gave me a major key. A major key. And I want you to look at that verse 2 again. Bring up 2 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. God's grace, all those promises, all the things that he's given us by grace, he's given them to us graciously, his peace. They are multiplied to us. How? By knowing God. We have to know God. That's the key. That's a major key here, guys. It's major. It's huge. We got to know God. How do you get to know God? You spend time in his word. You spend time with him. That's how you get to know somebody. Spend time. You know, as I was seeking God, that was like a 10 or 11 year period for me. It was intense. But he revealed so much to me in that time. And I didn't know that he was eventually going to have me be standing here. But I, you know, what he was teaching me was for my own personal gain, for our family's gain, to walk in those promises. But it wasn't just for me. It was to be able to share it with others as well. So that's what we do here. That's why we're here. So the interesting thing was as God would reveal things to me, and I study them out, and I'd study on teachings about those things, and when I apply, when I realized, you know, this is God. God said this. I didn't. When I applied those things, it worked. And so we're just looking at God's word. What does God say about it? We need to know God. The scripture says we need to know about God. We need to know him. We need to know Jesus. We need to know about that. That's how these all of this, the blessings and the promises are made available to us. And you know what? This is the thing. When I finally saw all that God was teaching me personally during that time, I actually got angry. I got angry because, God, why wasn't I taught this in the church? We're there all the time. Every time it's open, why weren't we taught that? You know, I don't know if you, whoever was here on the last night, it was a Wednesday night when we all came together, the last night of the Charis healing teaching. I don't know if any of you were here, but we had several people come up to this podium who were from other churches. And they had that same righteous anger. I learned this during this Charis healing teaching. Why didn't we learn this years ago? Why didn't my church teach me this years ago? That's where I was. And so the answer that God gave me is because many in the church are blinded. They don't receive what God has for them. And you know what? We're seeing that today. Big time today. If you remember, one of the recent Barna surveys, when they surveyed pastors, the survey results came back that 72% of pastors don't believe everything in this word. They don't believe it. That's a major problem. That's a big problem. 72%. And so if the pastor doesn't believe what God says, he isn't going to tell you, he or she is not going to tell you what's in there. He may give you something a little bit twisted or turned, but it's not what God says. And so we need to be about God's word. If a person cannot discern what the truth is, if they can't discern truth from a lie, good from evil, do you want to sit under that teaching? Absolutely not. We sat under it for years. God brought us out from that. I didn't know that this is where he was bringing us, but God brought us out from underneath that. And so I want to look at Luke 6:39-40. Thank you, Kathy. Jesus said this. And he, Jesus, spoke a parable. He said this, "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." You know, I realized that the church we were going to was teaching us some good things, but they could only take us to a certain level. I needed to go further. And I realized I needed a new teacher. I needed God to teach me. I needed a new teacher, one who knew all the truth, because some of those things that were taught in that church were not in alignment with God's word. And so we had to change churches. But I needed Holy Spirit. I had to spend. I had to go to Holy Spirit school. For a couple of years. You know, we left that church that we were involved in, and we went to another church that was teaching a little bit more along the lines, but then God told us to leave that church. And we didn't know why at the time, but what we found out later on was that that church took a different path from how God was directing them. So God spared us, took us out of there, so that was a good thing. But anyway, we sought, you know, some other churches, but God used that time to prepare us, and so during that seeking, God also hooked us up with other preachers that were teaching the truth, things that they didn't learn in church either. They learned, you know, and God pulled them into a ministry also, and now they're teaching it to others. And so, you know, Ken Hagin, Ken and Gloria Copeland, Andrew Womack, Creflo Dollar, those were the kind of teachers that God hooked me up to. And I tell you, it was like night and day, like night and day. You might wonder, how can it be that 72% of pastors don't believe the Word of God? How can that be? You know, every one of us, we can either be influenced by God or we can be influenced by Satan and the world. Every single one of us. And so, you know, unfortunately, the world's way of thinking has infiltrated the church, sadly, but to a very large degree. But I'm amazed at the number of people in the church overall that don't know the difference between God and Satan. They can't discern the difference between good and evil. And they're standing behind pulpits. Just an interesting time that we're living in, guys. Very interesting time. We're living in a critical period. We're in an extreme battle of good versus evil. You gotta know it. You gotta know it. You know, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. And so, you know, so many in the church can't tell the difference between the two. And that's the division. That's the division that is in the church. And so, you know, they struggle with discernment. We need discernment. We need to know what God's saying. What's he saying to us? What are we to do? And then we do it. And then we'll be happy. We'll be blessed, right? But if you can't hear, if you're not hearing, you know, you might be listening to what the enemy's saying, and it may not go so well with you. But so we need to have our spiritual eyes open. We need vision. We need vision. We need spiritual vision. And we need that vision to be clear, not clouded. And so we didn't know what is God and what is not. You know, there's a division. There's a division. You got to see it in the churches. That's why you can go past one church and you might see their sign out front that says yoga classes. You know, Tuesday night at such and such a time. And you might go to another church where they will deliver you from the spirit that came in when you went to those yoga classes. That's why there's a difference. You know, we had a young gal come in here one time, just came to the front door with a friend, she was asking, can you pray? And we just happened to have, you know, me and another person were here, and yeah, we'll pray for you. And just some weird things just started happening there. But actually, you know, a demon manifested. And this gal, I didn't know, I never met this gal before, but all of a sudden she threw herself out on the floor on her belly like a snake. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay. I said, God, I need help on this one. Okay. And he gave me a name. He gave me the demon's name. Oh, you know, I need God. If God doesn't tell me, I don't know. I'm guessing. I need God. I need to be able to hear him clearly. We all do. Every one of us. He's not going to tell you to do something that he's against. He won't tell you to do it. Make sure you're hearing God. But God gave me a name, Kundalini. Whoa! Okay, now I know, because I've been studying the Word. Not what my church taught me. What God taught me. Resist the devil and he will flee. Use your authority. That book on authority. If you need that book, where's Gary? How many copies we got left? Three or four? Four copies left? If you want that book, it's free. Thank God for the person who blessed it and sowed it into this ministry. You got to know your authority, church. So I knew. I didn't have to, oh God, please, I hope this is going to work. I knew my authority. Kundalini, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. You know, you can't say, oh please, Mr. Devil, will you please come out of her? No, you use your authority. Use your authority. God gave it to us. But we have to know how to fight as sons and daughters of God. And so She said, "Ooh, I feel something going up my back. That thing, if you know anything about Kundalini, it wraps around the spine. And this thing was unloosening. It was unloosening. She felt it. So I feel something. It's moving up my spine. It's moving. It's in my head." And it came out. And she was free. And then, you know, I didn't know much about this gal. We didn't have time to really talk too much. But I said, "By any chance," I said, "were you involved in yoga at all?" She said, "Oh, yeah. Is that how that thing got in there?" This is how we see, you know, we love all churches. We love all people in the churches. But the discernment level isn't always so great, you know. And so just be careful. Be careful who you submit yourself to. Be careful. That's how we see such division in the church overall. There is division, and it's because of the discernment. People can't tell. They can't discern what's God and what's not. What's good, what's evil. The world has infiltrated, and that's why you'll see some churches will openly they accept the gay lifestyle. They openly accept abortion. But you know what? We love all people. We love all people, but I can't accept that lifestyle and glorify it and honor it and have a gay pride flag flowing out in front of our church. Although you go past a lot of churches, you'll see that. But God calls it an abomination. And it's an abomination. I can't call it anything different. But there are pastors doing that. Be careful who you submit yourself to. Be careful. Gary and I, we have our grandson is with us full time right now because the father is out of the state. And he asked us to keep him for a little while. And we're having some issues with him. And I found out why. He said that all of his friends, they all have Pokemon. Now, you gotta discern, guys. Is Pokemon good? Or is it not? Is it of God? Or is it of the enemy? I hope I don't have to answer that. I hope you know. I trust that you discern. Not everything that's put out there and marketed as cute and sweet and, oh, just a game. It isn't all just cute and sweet and just a game. We're having some issues in our home. And, you know, we love his father, but his father's not on the same page. Oh, Pokemon is okay. Anyway, be careful who you submit yourself to. Whoever you submit yourself to, you are their servant to obey, whether to God or to Satan. Be careful. Know in your knower. God will tell you. He'll tell you. So, you know, that's why we see such a division in the church. Their spiritual vision is clouded. You know, mine was. Mine was clouded too because I sat under wrong teaching. And God had to bring me out from underneath that. you know what cleared up my vision? It was spending time with God, spending time in his word, seeking him. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, that door will be open. I don't know how long you got to knock, but you knock until it's opened. Until you get the revelation. And so, you know, for me, it was like a 10 or 11 year period. It was everything else out and God in. Now, it wasn't easy because we had little children at the time. But God, I need to know. I need to learn from you. And so it was just getting to know God. It was spending time getting to know him. I was spending oodles of time in his word just to get to know him. And I'm going to go back to that 2 Peter 1:2, Kathy, if you put that up. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I needed to know who God really was because the God that was presented to me in the church wasn't exactly who he was. If all those precious promises that I had, you know, learned about had to be received into this physical realm by faith, and Scripture says it does, Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace through faith, we've been saved. By grace through faith, we've been healed. By grace through faith, we are delivered. By grace through faith, we are protected. We are prospered. We get the victory. By grace through faith. So if all the promises of God have to be received by faith, then I have to know and I have to trust the God who gave them. Because that's where they're coming from. They're from Him. I have to trust the one who gave them. And so I had to know God. I had to learn, spend time with Him. I had to glean from His teachings. I had to know Him personally. Basically, what I needed to just have a relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God. That's what we're talking about here, guys. I had to get to know God intimately. I had to get to know His true nature, what He was really like. Somehow I had acquired this idea that, you know, well, you know, now I'm saved. You know, I'm saved by grace. You know, God, He put Jesus on that cross to pay for my sins. But now I got to be perfect, or I might miss it. You know, or God will put sickness on me, or somehow religion has taught that. But anyway, I needed to get to know God. I needed to know who He really was. I needed to know His character, and it just comes by spending time with Him. I felt like I had to earn God's love, like I had to earn His grace. I felt like I had to earn it. You know what? It isn't grace if you have to earn it. Grace is free. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. That Romans 2:8 just said, it is the gift of God. Romans 2:8 said, it's the gift of God. And the very next verse, Romans 2:9, says this, not of works, not of our works, lest anyone should boast. It's not by my works, salvation and healing and deliverance. It's not by my works. He's already, by His grace, has supplied it. All we do is believe it, and we receive. So God has already given us these things. We don't have to jump through hoops. You know, we don't have to jump through hoops to get the promises or the blessings. He's already given them to us in the spirit realm, spirit to spirit. We just receive them. We believe and receive them, and they manifest in the physical. I want to look at the verses that just precede those verses 8 and 9. I want to look at Ephesians 2. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. Look at those with me. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been sozoed. By grace you've been sozoed. And we've learned what sozo is in the previous messages. Get them off of Podbean as soon as Pastor Ralph gets them on there. That word sozo. Do a study on it. Thank God it includes forgiveness for our sins and salvation, and we'll go to heaven. But that's not all. That isn't all. We need His promises right here on this earth, right now. Those promises were for the Israelites right here on this earth. His promises are for us too. And verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, we were singing about His mercy. We were singing about His grace earlier today. Awesome, awesome. That scripture said that God is rich in mercy. The Greek word, I want to look at that Greek word for mercy. That word is the word eleos. Eleos. That word for mercy means compassion. It means tender mercy. It means kindness. It means beneficence. It means an attitude, an outward manifestation of pity. God is rich with compassion and mercy and kindness. God is beneficent. God is a good God. He's good. He's a good God who does good. He does good for our benefit. We're the benefactors. We benefit. He wants us to prosper. God does not lack mercy. He doesn't lack mercy. He is rich in mercy. These scriptures in verse 4 said that God loves us with a great love. A great love. I want to look at that word love. That word, the word that we're looking there for love, God's kind of love, is the word agape. Strong's Concordance says it is affection or benevolence. It says it's a love feast of charity. It's a love feast. Love. And I want to go on. I have a study Bible that really goes into great detail. Thank you for putting that up. This is what my Bible study says. Agape denotes an undefeatable benevolence and unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what that person does. It is the self-giving love. We're talking about God's kind of love towards us. It is the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of the object. Next slide, Kathy. Agape, this is continuing in my study Bible, agape is more a love by choice than philos, which is love by chance. And it refers to the will rather than emotion. Agape describes the unconditional love that God has for the world. God's kind of love is the highest form of love. It's his love for us. Unconditional. He doesn't ask for anything in return. He'll give us his love. You know, God loves even those who don't love him. It's unconditional love. He loves them. Now he tries to tell them in his word how to live this life, you know, how to go, what to do, what not to do. But everyone has a choice, don't we? To do or not to do what he tells us to do. If you don't do what I tell you, it might not go so well with you. If you do, you'll be blessed, you'll be happy. So God's kind of love is unconditional. That's his character. We didn't know God's character. You can't earn his love. He's already given it to you. It's unconditional. We all know this scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God tells us how to have everlasting life. He sent his son. God so loved the world that he gave. He loved the world. And you know, he loved us. He loved us. He loved me while I was still in my mess. He loved the world while we're still in our mess. And you know what? This world is in a big mess right now. We're in a mess. And God still loves us. He loves us. The truth is that God's love towards us has nothing to do with our performance. Nothing. If we connect it to our performance, we're missing the boat. We're missing it. He loves us because he is love. That's his character. God is love. He doesn't love us because we're lovely. Mm-mm. He doesn't. He loves us because he created us. We're his creation. He loves us. 1 John 4:8 says this, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. He's love. Wrap your brain around that, guys. It doesn't matter what you did in your life. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did maybe on the way to church today. If you messed up, guess what? God loves you anyway. You don't have to perform for him. Now, he tells us in his word what we should do, steps to take, things to do. And if we do, we'll be happy, we'll be blessed. If you want everlasting life, we got to believe that he sent his son for us and receive him. But he gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. A lot of times, salvation is presented in the church as, you know, it's a free gift. You know, oh God, yeah, he sent his son Jesus to die for you. It's a free gift. But now that you're saved, you got to toe the line. You got to live holy. Now, God wants us to live holy, right? But you know what? We mess up. We do mess up. Does that stop God's love towards us? Not at all. Not at all. His love is unconditional. Just as my love is for my children, I love them. Whether they do what I say or not what I say. Well, you know, I want them to do the right thing and to live a good life so that it goes well with them. But you know what? They're adults. They can choose to do their own thing. I still love them. Their choices could be deadly ones. I'll still love them. God loves us unconditionally. God doesn't depend on our performance. You know, I used to think, well, if I read my Bible, you know, 3 hours a day, and I'm in prayer 2 hours a day, and I do this, and I give my tithes, and I attend church all the time, that's going to win some brownie points with God. You know, we don't have to jump through hoops for God. He loves us anyway. But, you know, it is good to do those things because those things draw me closer to God. I get to know him better by spending time with him in his word. You know, those things benefit me. And God likes it anyway, too. He likes when we praise him. He likes when we look to him. So certainly we should do those things, but not to get God to bless us. He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Past tense. Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Past, he's already blessed us. They're already ours. We receive those blessings from the spirit realm to the physical realm by faith. Mark 11:22. Jesus said this. He said, have faith in God. Church, have faith in God. In order to have faith in God, you know what? It requires trust. If you're going to have faith in anyone, you got to trust that person. And so the word, I want to look at the word trust. It shows up in the dictionary as a noun and a verb. We're going to look at both. As a noun, trust means this. This is Webster's dictionary. The noun says this. Three examples here. Trust means assured reliance on the character, on the strength or the truth of someone or something. We need to trust God. And so trust is an assured reliance on his character, on his strength, on his truth. Trust is also a basis of reliance, faith, or hope. In order to have faith, we gotta trust God. We have to trust God. And the third example there is trust is a confident hope in God. So trust is the basis for faith. And we need faith, right, to access, to receive the blessings, the promises that God has already given us. He's given us all spiritual blessings in that spirit realm. So faith pulls them into this physical realm. We have to trust him. And I want to look at the verb. The verb, trust as the verb in Webster says this. Trust means to place confidence in. It means to be confident. It means to commit or place in one's care or keeping. To entrust. The third one there is to permit, to stay or go or to do something without fear. When you're trusting, there's no fear. And the fourth one is to rely on the truth of, or to believe. So in order to have faith in God and his word, we have to trust him without fear. We have to trust him. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. And the perfect love is agape. It's the God kind of love. So in order to know God, in order to trust him and have faith in him to receive the blessings, we need to know and understand the amazing love that God has for us. And you get that by spending time with him, by spending time in his word. You know, scripture says in Galatians 5:6 says that faith works by love. Faith works by love. That includes having a revelation of God's kind of love towards us. It also includes, you know, us walking in love towards others. But if you don't know the love that God has for you, you know, you'll always question, well, you know, God, I messed up yesterday. You know, you might not heal me today. You know, if you don't know the unconditional love that God has for you, it's not God withholding his power. It's not God withholding his healing power from you. It's we are the ones that do that. Our conscience gets in the way and can be a hindrance. And so if you think that God's love is based on your performance, you're going to be hindered in receiving from God. I learned that. That was a hard lesson to learn, but I learned it. And so, you know, that can hinder your faith. Hebrews 4:16 says this. Okay, that's Hebrews 4:6 is up there. It's Hebrews 4:16. That's the scripture I want to look at. It's not the one that's up there. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain God's mercy and find grace to help us in the time of our need." That scripture says that we are to come boldly. Now, you can only come boldly to the throne of grace if you know the love that God has for you, the forgiveness that God has for you. Because otherwise, if you're focused on your issues, your lack, your the things you did wrong, you won't come boldly. It'll affect your faith. It'll affect your faith. If you're looking at your performance, it will definitely affect your faith. We're to come to God's throne of grace. It's not a throne of works. It's a throne of grace. We're in the New Testament. It's a throne of grace. If you have your Bibles, could you pull up Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 3. Pull up Ephesians chapter 3 in your Bibles. I want to look at something. If you need a Bible, we have extra Bibles on the back table. Ephesians, I want to look at chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 14. For those of you who pulled your phones out, go down to verse 14. And it says this. Paul is saying, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, here's Paul. He's bowing his knees before our Lord. So he's in prayer. This is a prayer. Paul is praying here. "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you," Paul is praying for the Ephesians, "he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Where are we strengthened? In our inner man. In our spirit, in our inner man, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in" what? Love. Oh, love. You being rooted and grounded in God's love, "that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That scripture just said that we need to know the width, the depth, the length, the height of the love that God has for us. That if we know that, his power can work in us. If we know that, God's love is amazing toward you guys. It's amazing. I felt his arms as we were just worshiping today. I felt his arms around us. His love is amazing. When that scripture said that if when we know the love of God, we're filled with all of his fullness. We lack nothing. We lack nothing. His power that he placed in us will work when we trust him, when we believe him, when we have faith in him, and that in his amazing love, his love has already been poured out to us. We will do exceedingly abundantly all that he can do exceedingly abundantly, all that we've asked, or even what we think. So if you're struggling to believe that God's promises will come, you know, be available to you, that's unbelief. And so we just need to spend some time with God, get to know him. You know, if we have unbelief, it's a lack of knowing God's love for us. We don't have to jump through hoops. We just got to trust him. We just got to believe him. Got to have faith. And so when we get that revelation of God's love for us, faith is automatically present. Automatically. If you're lacking in every area of your life, I suggest you spend some time with God. Spend some time in his word. Get to know the width, the depth, the height, the length of God's love. It's for real. I believe that's one of the greatest of revelations, the greatest visions that any of us can receive, to know the incredible love that God has for each and every one of us. No matter what, no matter what we've done, no matter what we are doing, his love is still there for us, still there. Yes. What's that song? Oh, that's Amazing Grace. Yeah, Amazing Grace, same thing. We do have a song that we're going to close out here with. So you'll love it, Nancy. I know Nancy loves to worship. She loves worship songs. You know what? The worship songs that we have here every Sunday morning, I'll go through my week, and those songs will come back to me. I'll just start singing them to God. They'll come back to me. And you know what? He loves it. I don't have to do that. I get to. And I'm the one that gets blessed. I mean, I'm blessing him. I know I'm blessing him too, but I get blessed in the process. I'm happy. All right. So God's love is the foundation for our faith. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, "And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." You know, it's never God that turns down his anointing, that turns down his love, that turns down his power. It's never God that holds those things back from us because, you know, we've done something wrong. It's never God who turns away from us. You know, the Bible says that he'll never leave us or forsake us. It's us. If you're feeling like God doesn't love you today, you're wrong. You know, sometimes we perceive God's love better for us than other times. And that has a lot, it's us. It's not God. God's love is there for us all the time. All the time. We may act wrong at some points, and we may feel some of that condemnation, but God's love is the same. It's the same all the time. He doesn't change. Guilt and condemnation might make us feel like, God, how can you love me? How can you love me? You know, if we do feel like that, the word tells us, come before him, repent. Just repent. Simple, so simple. So simple. Very simple. And he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just come to him. Simple, simple. The problem is never with God. This is about a relationship. We're talking about the love that God has for us. We don't have to jump through hoops for it. We've already received it. And our faith will be connected to how we perceive God's love for us. All those blessings that we have on our spirit board, all those promises that God has in his word, we receive them by love. It's God's grace he's already given. And we receive them when we understand, when we trust him. That is our faith connecting us to that. So faith works by love. And we need a revelation of God's love. That's one of the things. That's a major key that God showed me in all those 10 or 11 years of my seeking him during a very critical time in my life. And when I got a hold of that, I tell you, it's so freeing. It's very freeing. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to set the captives free. His love is amazing. And his love is for each and every one of us. You know, God even loves Hitler. I don't believe Hitler is with God right now. But God loves him. Dare I say, God loves Dr. Fauci. I love Dr. Fauci. Don't trust him, but I love him. I love him. I love him. God loves Mr. Biden. I love Mr. Biden. I don't trust him for anything. Every one of his decisions have been wrong. Everyone. Pray for Afghanistan. Pray for our people there. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But God loves us all, no matter what we've done, no matter what we've gone through. He loves us all. It is unconditional. You can't change it. Amen. All right. We have a song, I do believe, that our musicians are going to bring up now. Woo. To close this out.
I live in the mountains.
Awesome, awesome. On and on and on it goes. No end, no end. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. On and on it goes. His love never fails. Never, never. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this great revelation, Lord, of your agape for us. Thank you, Lord. You love us so much. You loved us so much. You sent your only son to pay for the penalty that we deserve to pay, but couldn't. We couldn't. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for going to that cross. For me, for us. Your love is amazing. I thank you that you impart a supernatural revelation of your love to each one within the sound of my voice, Lord. We don't have to jump through hoops. You've already given. And we receive. We're grateful, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you for giving us everlasting life. Thank you for giving us your the power that raised you from the dead. We have that inside of us. Thank you for giving us dominion, authority. Thank you for all the blessings, all the promises. They are yes and amen. And we receive them because you loved us so much, you gave them all to us. And you tell us in your word how to see them manifest. So, Father, I thank you for this entire teaching of recasting the vision of why we're here. I thank you for writing it on our hearts, Lord God, that we can partner with you. We desire to walk in the truthfulness of your word and not be led astray by some of the world's view, the enemy's way of thinking. Thank you, Lord, for our sensitivity to your voice, to your word. We thank you for discernment, Lord, knowing what is good and what is evil, especially in these days. We thank you, Father, for sensitivity to know what is you and what is of the enemy. I break that division in your church. I thank you, Father, for giving revelation to all those who seek you, who know you, who love you. We all need to know how much you love us. Even those who say they hate you and work against you, they just need your love, Lord. They need your love. They need that revelation. Thank you. Thank you for your anointing on your word today, Lord. You're so amazing. Your love towards us is so amazing. Thank you for it. Now, Father, as we leave this place and go out among the highways and byways, Lord, we thank you that each of us can carry that love and demonstrate it to others who need it. It's a dark world, but we are your lights. And we thank you, Father, for lighting up the darkness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.